developing a lifestyle of prayer. God dropped this into my heart last night, and I believe it's a word for somebody here, or maybe several somebodies. But you know, we can be in contact. We can be in constant contact. We can be in communication with the Creator of the universe. 24/7. Constant contact. Acts 1:14 says, these all continued in one accord and prayer. Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and of breaking of bread and in prayers. Acts 3:1, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Prayer was the lifestyle of the early church. Matter of fact, I believe that's a big reason why the early church had so much power. But the opposite is also true. Amen or oh me. A prayerless church is a powerless church. Luke 11:1 says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. Isn't that something? Out of all the questions that they could have asked Jesus, the one question they asked him right there was, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. Out of all the things, you know, they could have said, God, Jesus, show us how to do miracles. Show us how to, they could have, how do we preach? How do we teach? How do we live for God? All the questions that they could have asked, but the one question that they did ask was, how do we pray? Because, I truly believe that they saw that it was out of prayer that everything happened. All the miracles happened. It was because Jesus prayed. And then Jesus gave them an interesting answer. In Luke chapter 11, when they asked him, Lord, teach us to pray, he basically gave them an outline to pray. He said, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. He gave them basically an outline because prayer is actually where you go to learn how to pray. I love the books on prayer. I've got so many books on prayer in my library, and I've read a lot of them, but there's a lot of them I haven't read. I haven't read a lot of the books on prayer. But, I mean, I'll get some by Charles Finney or E.M. Bounds or these great prayer warriors in the past and read about them, and it's just rich. There's a lot of good books, but all that is good, but nothing takes the place of praying. It's kind of like the Nike commercial that we see all the time. What is it? They say, just do it. Well, that's really how we learn to pray. Is by just starting. Just starting. You know, God speaks our language. Amen. We don't have to pray in Elizabethan English, or it doesn't have to be exact form. Because God knows our hearts. Amen. Man, I just cried out to God. My prayer was just, God, forgive me for ruining my life. He hears that prayer. He hears your prayer. Amen. He hears your prayer. He sees your heart. Amen. He sees our hearts. So prayer is where we go to learn how to pray. Jesus said in Luke 18:1 that men ought always to pray. But that's not all he said, and not to faint. Means there's something to that prayer business.
Amen.
Yeah. Because it can be work. I said it can be work. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 6:18, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And the Apostle Paul also said in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, writing to the church at Thessalonica, he said, pray without ceasing. Wow. Pray without ceasing. Basically, he was talking about a lifestyle of prayer. Prayer can be going on in your spirit 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can always be praying. You can pray without ceasing. And you know, a lot of prayer, people have this idea that prayer is us just going to God with a bunch of requests. But much of prayer is not speaking, but it's waiting on and seeking God. It's being quiet before God. And to me, that's the hardest thing. Can I slow down enough and sit there long enough without any distractions, without the tweets, without the bells on my phone going off, can I sit there long enough and not have to be doing something, looking at something, you know, just doing something? Can I sit there and wait on the Lord and seek Him? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. John 5:19 says, Jesus answered and said unto them, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He sees the Father do. For whatsoever things He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Hallelujah. Prayer is the place of seeing what the Father is doing.
Amen.
Wow. Remember, Pastor talks about how he asked Dr. Gordon Lindsay that, how do you know the will of God, I think was the question he asked him. And Pastor talks about how Dr. Lindsay, the founder of Christ for the Nation, said the key to that is finding out what God is doing and flow with that. Well, that's what Jesus said He did. Whatever He sees the Father do, that's what He goes and does likewise. I love what Dr. Cho said, the pastor of the largest church for, I guess, the last 30 years or 40 years, largest church in the world. And somebody said, what's the key to your success? I don't like that word, because success is doing what God's called you to do. Whether you got 20 million people or two, it does, you know, success is relative. Success is doing what God called you to do. But somebody asked him that fairly stupid question, and he said, I pray and I obey. I pray and I obey. Prayer. John 8:28, Jesus said, I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak those things. Jesus spent time listening to the Father in prayer and then speaking and doing those things that He heard. But man, you got to turn it way back to do that. I mean, you got to turn it way back. God, amen. God is called. I mean, God can speak to us through the whirlwind. And God can speak to us in any way. But it's easier to hear from Him when our spirits are quiet. God has called this church to make a difference in the world through prayer. And for 54 years, this church has made a difference in the world through prayer. Calvary was founded on prayer. Pastor's mother prayed, really, this church into existence. His mother-in-law was a woman of prayer. Joy, we all know Joy is a lady of prayer. And others. And for 21 years or so, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, somebody was here praying. And even downtown, and Pastor said over on Berry, I wasn't on the Berry, I didn't go to Berry Street, but you remember Brother Lowry, man, in the morning, you'd walk in at 6 in the morning and you'd hear him, all he would do is quote Scripture and go, praise God. And he'd quote Scripture, praise God. And, I mean, he would pray. I mean, this church has always had prayer warriors because it's founded on prayer. And through prayer, we have seen major, major revivals. I wasn't around here during the hippie revival in the early 70s, but I sure was in 93. I was here when we had a revival of joy, a prayer revival in 94 and 95 through towards the end of the 90s, revival of repentance, earth-shaking revivals. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, from this local church, people have gone out, have been touched by God and gone out and impacted the world. Amen. And we're a part of that. Amen. I said, we're a part of that. Amen. Whether you were here then or not, you're a part of that. And a harvest of souls, my goodness, just in the last 6 years, 120,000, 130,000 souls, people that have prayed the prayer of salvation, education, my 40 years educating young people, discipling young people, that's amazing. 38 years of Bible college, a television station that literally was the only station on. There was one other one that was said they were 24 hours a day, but when some old boy came home in the middle of the night and turned on the TV, basically all he could find was Lighthouse Television, and they were preaching, teaching, singing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, man. I mean, it's amazing what God has done. And I believe that all of those things, and more things than that, but I believe all of that is a harvest on the prayer that has been made in this place. I believe it's a harvest on the prayer that's been made in this place. And prayer, I know a lot of you, prayer is a lifestyle for you. And if it's not, it can become a lifestyle for you. And we must continue that. Individually, if we're ever going to be conformed into the image of Christ, if we're going to live an overcoming life, an overcoming Christian life, if we're going to live above temptation and sin. I'm telling you, sin can wipe you off the front row. You've got to guard your heart. And we do that through prayer. Remember what Jesus said, that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So we do that through a lifestyle of prayer. We have to develop a lifestyle of prayer, and it protects us. It keeps us. You know, Pastor says if you want to be kept, God will keep you. So one of the primary tools that God uses to shape us as believers is prayer. And prayer, people say, well, why do we have to pray? Prayer is just simply God's way of doing things. Why do you have to stop at the light down the street? Because that's the government's way of doing things. I mean, it just is. Prayer is God's way of doing things. And you can go all through the Bible, and believers prayed. Believers in God prayed. And I had a list. I mean, it's just too long, almost every one of them. You look at Abraham. Look when they... they start Genesis 4, men started to call upon God. And they started to pray. And people in the Word of God, in the Bible, believers were called to pray. And God is a loving God, and He desires the very best for each and every one of us. He loves us, and God, that's one reason why God wants us to bring everything to Him in prayer. He wants to be involved in our life because He loves us. He loves us. He wants to be vitally present in all of our decisions. It's been well said that little prayer brings little results, more prayer will bring more results, and great prayer will bring great results. But sometimes we'll get disappointed and not see what we think is a prayer answered, and we'll just go, well, and not continue on. I know. I've been a part of that. But I love what Pastor says. He says, you'll see more if you'll pray more. You'll see more if you'll pray more. The bottom line is that one way we get the most out of our spiritual journey is by praying. Through prayer. Time spent in prayer, time spent communing with our Heavenly Father. And thanks to the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, we can go right to the Father. We can go right to the Creator of the universe. Man, you're not calling some guy up. You're not even calling the president up. You're going to God Almighty. God Almighty. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. We should always have complete confidence in approaching God. No matter what you've done or what you haven't done, it's not based on our good works. It's based on what Jesus has already done. Hallelujah. You know, even if you've messed up, well, you can still go boldly to the throne of God. Yeah, it smites your conscience. But, I mean, it's not based upon our good works. It's based upon the finished work of Calvary. So there's no need for any of us to wait any longer. We all should go straight to the throne of God and ask what we need for. God is knocking on our heart's door with a divine invitation to fellowship with Him. I tell you what, let's do. Let's all turn to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Revelation 3:20. Shikarabasa. Thank God for the Word of God. Yes. Hallelujah. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our pathway. Heaven and earth is going to pass away. The Word of God, isn't it? Revelation 3:20 says this, behold, this is Jesus, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now, most of the time when we hear that passage of Scripture, it's used in the context of Christ knocking on our heart's door, the door of our hearts, as an unbeliever, you know, encouraging an unbeliever to come to Jesus. But that's really not what that Scripture says. That was written to the saints in the church of Laodicea. That was written to believers. Yeah. And as believers, Christ is already living on the inside of us. God dwells within us. Amen. But isn't it interesting that even though He dwells within us, He's still having to knock on the door of our hearts, asking us to let Him in so we can commune together. The Lord's wanting back in into our hearts. Now, I know he's there, but he's knocking saying, hey, I want to talk. Why is that? Why would he do that? Because he knows that life stuff comes at us. Just through the normal course of life, stuff comes to us, and we get easily distracted. We get easily distracted. I've met some people this week that are so distracted about politics that it's just like, wow. And I mean, you know, we need to know. But we get distracted. Remember Mary and Martha? Oh, man, you're so worried, so cumbered by so many things. So while God is the one initiating the invitation to a life of communion with him, what this is saying is it requires a response from us. We've got to respond to it. We respond by basically making space for him in our hearts and in our lives. We create space for him in our lives. You know, we give so many other things space. What do you give space to? You know, I mean, I can name. This guy. Oh. I give him a lot of space. And I'm not going to say, do you spend more time with God than you do with that thing? Oh, amen or oh me. I know, I'm in the same boat now. Help me, Lord. I want to give God more space than anything else that I do. I want to give him more space in my life than anything else, more than sports, more than reading the newspaper, more than the Twitter, more than the tweets and the politics and the, all that stuff. I want God to have first place in my life. I want him to have more space in my heart than anything else. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus is knocking on our heart's door, wanting to come back in. The very God that made space needs space in our lives. The very God that actually made space needs space in our hearts because he wants to commune with us. So we must reserve space in our lives just for him. Man, our lives can fill up with stuff fast. The psalmist said, Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Boy, it's hard to be still. That's a bad confession. It's easy for me to be still. How about you? Amen. Jeremiah 33:3, God's phone number. Call upon me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you haven't seen before that you know not. God is inviting us to spend time with him and get to know him again. And why does God extend that invitation? Why should it matter to God whether we pray or not? It matters to God because we matter to God. It matters to God because we matter to God. God loves us. Wow. God loves me. Wow. God loves you. He loves us just like we are. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to shout. God loves us so much that he sent his only begotten son to rescue us from sin and deliver us and to heal our broken heart and to heal our bodies. And so we can have fellowship with him. God loves us. Remember when they asked Jesus what the most important commandment was? And he responded in Matthew 22:37, 22, verse 37. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That sums up what God wants from us. Our most treasured gift to God at this Christmas time or any other time is, it is his birthday, right? Our most treasured gift we could give him is something which God can never force, and that is our love to him. Our love to him. And prayer is the vehicle for us to express that love to God. Prayer's the vehicle. Prayer's the way we express our love to God. God created us to have a relationship with him. That's why we were created. You know, only a relationship with God will satisfy the soul. Amen. You know the old song, looking for love in all the wrong places? Well, man, that was me. That was me. I was looking for it in a bottle. I was looking for it in a drug. I was looking for it in everything but God. But only God will satisfy the longing soul. Amen. The things of this world will never satisfy. Another drink will never satisfy. Another blast of cocaine will never satisfy. Another girl or another guy will never satisfy. A new car will not satisfy. A new home will not satisfy. More money will not satisfy. Only God will satisfy. Only Jesus will satisfy. And God wants to have fellowship and communion with you and with me, and the primary way he has set that up is through prayer. It's been said that prayer is the oxygen of our spiritual life. When we're born again, the Spirit of God comes and lives on the inside of us, and it's up to us whether we either nourish that life or starve that life. I want to nourish it. You ever notice when you like someone, what do you want? You want to spend time with them, don't you? You just want to spend time with them. Spending time together, and that's what God wants from us, just for us to spend time with him. Hallelujah. God wants to spend time with you. And in prayer, we spend time with God. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Imbarabasa karabasa. Imbarabasa karabasa. We learn to pray by spending quality time with God. Shibarabasa. So, prayer should be our lifestyle. It should be our way of life. We should be praying 24/7. We can do that. You can do that in the Spirit. And things, ladies and gentlemen, happen when we pray. Moses cried out, and the Red Sea parted. I'd say that's a happening. Moses interceded for Miriam, and she was healed. I mean, you can go through the Bible, and it's just like there's a zillion of them. Hannah prayed. She received a miracle baby boy. Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel prayed and sought the Lord, and they were delivered from a multitude of enemies. Hallelujah. Job prayed for his friends, and praise God, he received twice as much. Hallelujah. Jesus prayed, and the multitude was fed. 120 were gathered together and prayed, and the church was birthed, and the Spirit was poured out. Hallelujah. Signs, wonders, and miracles were the result of corporate prayer of the early church. Acts 4, 24 through 34. Peter was set free from prison. That's what we've been praying for. Peter was set free from prison supernaturally when the church gathered together and prayed. Hallelujah. So let me give you four biblical principles, four scriptural principles that will help you develop a lifestyle of prayer. Four principles. Number one, Make a time and a place to pray. Make a time and a place to pray. You got to make it. If you think you're going to pray when you have time, you will never have time. You make a time and a place to pray. If you do that, you will have overflow all day long. If you make a time and a place to pray, you will have overflow all day long. You must purpose to make a time and a place to pray. Mark chapter 1, verse 35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, oh my, he went out and departed into a solitary place and prayed. That's where he prayed. He got up early, and he went to a solitary place and there prayed. Luke 11, 1, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. Acts 3, 1, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. There was a place and there was a time. A common thread throughout the Bible is that people of God rose early to pray. That doesn't usually get a lot of hallelujahs, but there was one. One of the greatest, pastor says this to ministers, pastor says this when he ministers to ministers at ministers' conferences, and he said it to us too. But he said one of the greatest challenges that he has, or you could just say one of the greatest challenges of a believer, is getting our spirit quiet before the Lord so we can hear from him. Remember Dale Gentry's testimony when he used to be a disc jockey at that radio station? And God spoke to him and said, if you'll give me the first hour of your day, I'll change your life. And Brother Gentry's radio program started at like 2 or 3 in the mornings, 3. So he got up at 1 or 2 to go to the radio station. He said, God, I already get up at 2. Like, and then he thought about that and he said, I guess God would know when I get up. But so he started getting up an hour earlier, and God changed his life and took him all the way around the world. I mean, I don't know what God will do for you. I mean, I know where my place is. I've got to fight. I'll tell you, remember how Brother Dale used to say in the prayer revival for those that were there, he would say, it just hurts a little bit. You just swing to the side of the bed and put one leg out, the other leg out, and stand up. It just hurts for a little bit. Well, if you do that enough, it's amazing. You will start going to bed earlier, and it won't hurt so much when you get up. So I started doing that. I've got my time. My time's at 5, and I got my place by my fireplace and my Bible, and I have to do it before my phone starts going off on me, before I want to look at all the tweets and before the news and before the texts and before the emails and before the phone calls, because if I don't do it then, it doesn't get done. And so I fight for that time. And now I've gotten to where I've done it for so long that it puts me to bed earlier, and I get up early, and it doesn't bother me, and just pray and seek God and read His Word. Make a time and have a place to pray. Make a time and a place to pray. Number two, rely on the Holy Spirit. Make a time and a place to pray, and then number two, rely on the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about developing a lifestyle of prayer. The Holy Spirit is our helper. Yes. He intercedes for us. He helps us. That's the dual role. He intercedes for us and helps us intercede. Romans 8, 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit is our helper. He will not do your job for you, but he will help you do what you're supposed to do. Do your job. And what does he help? The Bible says he helps our infirmities. There, that it can mean sicknesses, but there, that means our limitations. He helps our limitations. The Holy Spirit helps us in our prayers. In other words, what we can lift, with the Holy Spirit, we can lift it. We have a job that needs to be done, and sometimes we can't see a way to get there from here. But the Holy Spirit comes alongside and he says, I can help you. I can help you, and I will help you. When you pray, when we pray, we're not alone. The Holy Spirit is there to help us. Hallelujah. We all need help. You don't have to carry the load by yourself. The Holy Spirit will help you. The Spirit intercedes according to the mind of God. And when we pray in the Holy Ghost, our prayers are perfectly in line, totally accurate, totally in line with the will of God. It's like Pastor talks about the passing gear in the car. You're sitting there and you're going up a mountainside and you got a big truck right there and it's like you can't get there from there, but all of a sudden you floor it and there's a passing gear and he just, that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. He helps our limitations. Pastor says, the Spirit will help me. This was a quote from him I wrote down long ago. Pastor says, the Spirit will help me in every area of life where I will let him help me. The Spirit will help me in every area of life where I will let him help me. The Holy Spirit will help you. He is able. He dwells inside of you. He lives big inside of you. He will strengthen you. He's our comforter, our counselor, our helper, our intercession, our standby. He is there 24 hours a day. When you wake up in the middle of the night, when you wake up in normal time, when you go to bed, during your day, he is always there, and he's there to help you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, I'm getting chills all over me just talking about that. The Holy Spirit's attitude to you, towards you and me, is, can I help you? He is sent to help us do our work, but not to do our work for us. He's sent to help us. He's the helper. Together with the Holy Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, we can do anything. Amen. You have the life of God in you, the life of God through the Spirit of God. He lives in you. Amen. Nothing shall be impossible to us. So rely on the Holy Spirit. He's our helper. Amen. Make a time and a place, and then rely on the Holy Spirit. Number three. Listen to God. Listen to God. Amen. Don't do all the talking like I'm doing right now. Don't listen to God. Don't do all the talking. Stop everything, if it's possible. I know it's tough. And listen to God. Amen. Wow. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. How many want to prosper? And it says, thou shalt make thy way prosper. He won't. You will when you meditate and hear God. When you meditate on his word, thou shalt make thy way prosperous. and thou shalt have good success. The Lord was instructing Joshua to speak the word, to meditate on the word, and to act on the word. So don't stop at just reading the word. You know, thinking that'll produce everything you need. And reading the word is great. I love it. I do it all the time. I read through the Bible constantly. I love it. But that's not everything. We must stop and listen. We must stop and listen. We must meditate on the word. Meditate. Meditate means taking a truth that you read in Scripture and thinking on it over and over and over again and going, it means revolving it in your mind. Revolving it in your mind. And that takes time. And that takes time. Revolving it in your mind. When you have spoken and meditated and acted on the word, then, the Bible says, you'll make your way prosperous and then you'll have good success. Hallelujah. All right, so we're talking about listening to God. John 5:19. Jesus answered and said unto them, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For whatsoever things he does, these also does the Son likewise. Prayer is the place where we see what God the Father is doing. Prayer is the place where we get basically our marching orders and he shows us what to do. Amen. John 8:28, Jesus said he did nothing of himself, but as his Father has taught him, he speaks those things. Jesus spent time listening to the Father in prayer and then speaking those things. He didn't do anything on his own. He was in perfect harmony with his Father, our God. If Jesus had to be God the Father dependent, how much more should we be God the Father dependent? So listen to God. And number four, hallelujah. Always base your prayers on the Word of God. So make a time and a place, rely on the Holy Spirit, our helper. Listen to God, and then always base your prayers on the Word of God. First John, 5:14-15. Always base our prayers on the Word of God. 1 John 5:14-15, and this is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, how many know His Word is His will? He hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. The key to seeing the kind of results God wants us to have is not just randomly shooting arrows in the air hoping something's going to happen. James wrote, you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and receive because you ask amiss. You don't receive. Our prayers must be based on the Word of God. When we can go boldly to the throne of grace, knowing what God's will is in advance and having it firmly fixed in our heart. We pray prayers based on the Word by going to the Word of God, locating the promise or promises that fit our situation. And then we get those promises and we begin to pray those answers. The principle works in every area of prayer. Do you need healing in your body? Then don't pray the negative report. Don't pray a negative doctor's report. Don't pray what religious tradition teaches you. Pray by Jesus' stripes, the answer, pray the answer, by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. And then say, thank you, Lord, that you provided that healing for my body. I receive it now. I thank you and I praise you for it. Get the answer and pray the answer. Pray the answer to your situation. Do you have a financial need? Any problem, pray the answer. God has said he will provide for you, so pray. Thank you, God. You have said that you will supply all my need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Begin to pray the answer. Begin to pray the word of God. I mean, it's easy. We all know our limitations. It's like when I was broker than broke and under the barrel, and I kept adding up all my expenses and all the bills that I owed, and finally God almost, it wasn't an audible voice, but it might as well have been to me. And he said, quit looking at your lack and start looking at my abundance and watch me change your life. So focus on the answer. Focusing on the answer will activate your faith to receive from God. So base your prayers on the Word of God. And when you develop a lifestyle of prayer, when you make a time and a place to pray, when you rely on the Holy Spirit, when you listen to God, and you base your prayers always on the Word of God, I'm telling you, nothing can come to you that you and God cannot overcome in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. Hallelujah. You may be in this room tonight and you'd say, Charlie, I've just come here tonight, but I'm not right with God. There's things in my life that are not pleasing to God. I've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Hallelujah. Or I've asked Jesus to be the Lord of my life, but I've drifted. I've gotten away from God, and I want to get right with God tonight. I want you to know he's here for you tonight. He loves you just like you are. He loves you unconditionally. And he sent his son Jesus to die for you and pay the price for your sins. You may be in this room and you may not be sure of your salvation. Sometimes you feel saved and sometimes you don't. I want you to know that you can know for sure that everything is right between you and God. You can know for sure that if you were to die today, that you would spend eternity in heaven. If that's you, if you're not sure, I want to pray for you. And I have a fourth invitation for you, and it's this. You could be in this room tonight bound by a destructive habit. Whatever it is, doesn't matter. I'm telling you, however long you've been involved in it, doesn't matter. The arm of the Lord is not short that it cannot save. And neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. He knows right where you are, and he hears your heart's cry. He can set you free from any destructive habit, and he can keep you free if you'll respond to him. If you want to be set free from a destructive habit, I want to pray for you tonight. I'm telling you, you can walk out of this room tonight free in Jesus' name. So all across this room, if you'd like to be included in my prayer to come to God for the very first time, to come back to God, to be sure of your salvation or to be set free from a destructive habit, on the count of three, I want you to lift your hand high and say, Charlie, pray for me tonight to get right with God. One, two, three. Hallelujah. Lift your hand high so I can see it. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I see all those hands lifted up. Okay, I want you to be bold. I want you to be bold for God. Jesus said, I want you to just right now, if you raise your hand or if you should have raised your hand, just stand up. Just stand up right where you are. If you raise your hand or if you should have raised your hand. Now take the next step with God. Let me tell you, if you mean business with God, God means business with you. So if you raised your hand or if you should have, I want you to come right down here. Meet me right here at this altar of prayer. We're going to pray a life-changing prayer right now in Jesus' name. Come on, right now. From all across the room, if you raised your hand or if you should have, come right now in Jesus' name.
Jesus is the way.
Come on in. That's all right. Amen. Hallelujah.
For the world today,
he's the answer.
Above him there's no other.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus is.
Yes, Lord. I want to pray with you, gentlemen, and you, lady. I want to pray with y'all tonight. I want to pray a prayer that will birth you into the kingdom of God if you've never asked Jesus into your heart. It's a prayer that'll restore fellowship with God. He'll restore to you the joy of your salvation. It's a prayer of assurance of your salvation, and it's a prayer of deliverance if you need that. So I want you to open your heart. Pray this prayer out loud with your lips out loud, but open your heart and pray it in faith. We believe you're never going to be the same again. Say this. Say, Dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
Let's all say it out loud. Dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Forgive me of my sin.
Forgive me of my sin.
Wash me and cleanse me.
Wash me and cleanse me.
Have mercy upon me.
Have mercy upon me.
And set me free.
Set me free.
Jesus Christ.
I confess,
you are my Savior,
you are my Savior
and my Lord.
And my Lord.
I believe in my heart, that
God the Father
raised Jesus from the dead.
Therefore,
according to your word, I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I'm on my way to heaven. And all my sins are forgiven
right now
because I have Jesus in my heart.
Thank you, Jesus,
for loving me,
for forgiving me,
and for setting me free.
All right,
let's all lift our hands and thank God for the amazing, saving grace of God in our lives tonight. In Jesus' name. Well, let's give Jesus a big hand clap. Amen. Okay, all guys and girls, wait a minute. Time out. Don't go anywhere. See that smiling gentleman right there with the Bible? We want to minister to you just a few minutes longer. We want to give you some free booklets that will help you in your walk with God. We want to pray with you, and you'll be released right back into this service in just a moment. So if y'all would all go down this aisle and go out there with that gentleman, you'll be released right back into here in just a moment. Now, everybody else, hold steady with me just for a moment.